Good morning, everybody. You may be seated.
Yes. Okay. She doesn't like to talk.
No, I do like to talk, maybe a little bit too much.
Okay. Well, I meant with a microphone is yes. What I meant. So, and I asked her to show you some pictures. You know, missionaries, what are missionaries? They got to show you pictures, right? So we want to show you some pictures of highlights of what has happened this year, thanks to your support, thanks to your prayers. And so I'm going to let my wife do that. And if you like, you can sit here and just tell them what's going on in the screen.
And I have to tell you that I like to do this, but he just told me 30 seconds ago that I was going to do it this morning. But you can go ahead or give me the shooter.
Just point it back there. That anywhere in the back, this will change the slide.
Okay, thank you. This year, starting in January, we started with our first team, which was a couple, very special friends of ours, Robert Hartzell and his wife, and they came and did a conference to our leaders there in the area where we are on being having the Father's love. And in the Dominican Republic, most people don't get married. There is no father image, which unfortunately we're headed that way in America right now. But he just came in and just ministered what God's love of a father is really all about. And it was just a wonderful experience. And we had all of these leaders come right there in the big town of Barona. And it was for one evening and one full day on a Saturday. We had a team come from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and they were dental and eyes. I don't do anything with them, because I don't want to look at people's eyes, and I'm not doing teeth. But they just came and served. Bethany, our daughter on the right, our youngest, she's right there. She's right there holding on and interpreting. And they came and brought, 1,500 pairs of glasses, prescriptions. So they pretty much could match anybody's prescription. And then there's Dr. Uriel, who was checking people's glucose. They brought 400 pillowcase dresses that were made by a group in Winston-Salem. They are made out of pillowcases, and they sew pockets on them and put a little bit of design in them, and we got to hand out 400 dresses to little girls there while they were doing the teams.
That's the deepest part of his heart for this church. Aquí el pastor, el apóstol Pablo, está expresando el deseo más profundo de su corazón.
He's saying, I haven't seen you in 5 years, so I want you to know something very special for your life.
Él está diciendo, yo no los he visto a ustedes en 5 años, así que estoy orando para algo especial para ustedes.
So the first thing that it says to them is what I'm saying to you, because this is important. The message that Paul...
This is our Salinas church. And this is our second church plant, and God has just been blessing that church. And that who was speaking was one of our pastors from Reimage Church, from our home church in Greenville, North Carolina. He came and ministered, Dave Zabowski. Dave Zabowski, some of you know Dave Zabowski. He's a Cleveland boy. This is the Run for Hope last year, the cistern, the money that you all raised, the cistern being dug. And Pastor Ron asked last night, well, how did you guys do it? We said, just like you see it, they got in the hole and just dug it out. No fancy machinery over there. No backhoe. And that is there, as they put in the block walls to the cistern, the top. And now since we've taken this picture, we've got the top of the cistern put on. And in that little like house area is going to be the pump house. And it also has a gate on it now. This is our Cristobal church. This is our first church plant. And in fact, Bob Dasher painted a mural back in, what year was that, Bob? 2002 in this church. And it's just as beautiful as ever. So this is our Cristobal church. We have a preschool center now with 50 children between the ages of 2 and 5. They meet 3 days a week. And it's manners, it's ABCs. But it's also, we are free to tell them about the Lord. And we don't, it's not even paid by us. It was by one of a government donation, and they let us do whatever we want. So we have an open door to the children in the town of Cristobal. Pastor Tomas, he got saved with us back when he was about 10 years old. And now he is the pastor in the Cristóbal Church, the one you just saw with the blue walls where all the kids were sitting on the floor, and he is getting married. We're excited because he's one of our boys, and we told him, we said, son, you've just got to wait because God has a superwoman for you. You're going to see her picture coming up, and they're getting married in September. There she is. And the thing about Arielina is that she lacks 1 year, and she will be a medical doctor. And she's leaving a big city, Santiago, which is like Santo Domingo, the second largest city in the whole country. And she says, I'm going to Cristóbal because I'm going to be the pastor's wife. I'm going to serve there, but I'm also going to be able to do medicine too. So we are excited. She's going to be added to our team now, Arielina. This is a daughter church in Cristóbal. It's on the other side of town because they have the Hatfields and the McCoys fight right there in the middle of the town, just like the olden days, but it's right now. So people on the other side of the city of Cristóbal said, we need a church. So Pastor Ingrid is our pastor there, and God has just opened up that whole side of town. And the thing that's so exciting to us is around this church is all witches. And they do the whole witchcraft like the olden days, like you see in the movies. And God is pulling that down. And we're just seeing such an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on that side of town. And people are getting saved. And they're leaving those old-time practices and coming to the Lord. And they got pillowcase dresses, too. This is our sister church in Polo in the mountains, up where it's chilly, not like Cleveland, but it's up chilly up there. And we love to go in fellowship up there. Uriel was speaking up there just a few months ago. We have now a new church in Santiago, which is in the very center of the island, with Pastor Kenji. They got the wooden toys in Santiago. The wooden toys that you all have sent to us, they have them over there in Santiago. Also, our church in Cristóbal, they received their wooden toys as well. We also had a donation from Greenville, North Carolina, of athletic equipment. And they were just so excited to receive all these things we take for granted. In the United States, we have two feeding centers, one in Salinas and one in Cristóbal, and they get food every month. And then sometimes the people who support them will send goodies like these that you don't usually get over there in the DR. We were donated a bus last year in College Park, Maryland, and we need to get that bus to the DR. So that's our plea this year, is help us to send the bus to the DR. On June 27th, we had the privilege of baptizing 18 people. And I think the last time we were here, we had 18 people who got baptized the last time that we were here. 18 more just gave their hearts to the Lord and have been discipled and were baptized this past month. Our oldest daughter, Becky Ray, is dating a young man, pastor's son. And so it looks like we're going to be having a wedding soon. We're excited about that. Our daughter, Mimi Beth, is now living in Greenville, North Carolina. Her and her husband, Stephen, are our office managers for Dominican Republic Mission. Our son, David, just got married on Friday the 13th. And I just was talking to Bob Dasher, and Jesse got married the same day. And it's a honeymoon event because the moon looks like honey, and it happens every 40 years. I didn't know that, so I got to let David know this is a special day, Friday the 13th. So David and Brooke are getting ready now to move to Greenville, North Carolina, and he is going to launch his business called TeamSpanish.com. So you all need to check it out. It's going to be easy learning, and he guarantees you're going to be speaking before very long. And David, pretty much anything David does, he sets out to do, and it happens. So check out TeamSpanish.com, him and his wife, Brooke. She's a wonderful new addition to our family. And then there's Bethany. Remember last year when Bethany had just come home from Ecuador and she spoke for a few minutes? Well, she is now living in Baltimore, and she's doing an internship on a church plant in downtown Baltimore City with a group of young people. And so that's where she is. Her ministry is worship, dance, And she misses the DR, and we told her, well, maybe one day you need to go back. So the Lord knows. But right now she's in an internship in Baltimore. Natalia is one of the girls from the dance team, and she wants to be a missionary to Africa. And Lord willing, the little blondie on the end here, she's going to Africa. With the Lord's help, we're going to send her to Africa. And here we are in the town of Salinas. And there's more to come. That's the bread man.
Yeah, that's how they deliver the bread over there. Okay. Thank you. Let's hear it for Becky. All right. Thank you, Dave Walker, for being here this morning, and Bob Dasher. Anybody else of my friends that doesn't attend here that's visiting this morning? Okay. It's great to see all of you. It's always an honor to be here, standing with you. It's a wonderful time that we have with your pastors. They're wonderful people. And we are excited about what's going on here. And we love the new facade of the church and what it's going to look like. And I told the pastor, well, the Lord knew that you could do it and your people, because it sure is a huge job. And it's just looking wonderful. And God is good this morning, isn't he? And we want to thank you for your prayers and for your support. This shows a little bit of what God is doing. You can never really show it. And if you've been on mission trips, you know that you can't really tell people what it's like unless you go there, because it's almost like going to the moon. Everything is so different. You have to experience it for yourself. And we are privileged that we get to do this. You know, that's how we still feel. Every time we're there, it's like, can't believe that we get to do this, and we are blessed. So this morning, I can't believe I get to speak the word to you too. It's a great privilege. So if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to the book of Acts, chapter 26. And while you're doing that, let me just give you a little bit of background of what's going on here in this passage of Scripture. The Apostle Paul, one of our heroes of the faith, has been preaching the Word of God everywhere. He started as a tormentor and an enemy of Jesus Christ. And the reason that he was an enemy of the new faith was that he loved God. He was a Pharisee. He was a Jew. And yesterday, my wife and I were watching this show from Israel, and we saw these older soldiers that fought in the 67 war, and one of them had a revelation from God, and God told him, according to him, he says, build my house. So his life's work has been trying to build the temple in Israel, and they showed all the stuff they had ready for the temple, the menorah. It's like something like $4 million in gold. The thing that has, I mean, it's all real. The priests are there, and they have the two cornerstones for the temple. Every year they try to go and put them up on the Temple Mount, and the Jewish police stop them. And these people believe, you know, some of them were saying, well, you know, probably we won't see it in our lifetime. Maybe our grandchildren, and maybe the Messiah will come now, and he will build the temple. And these are Jewish people, and they are very genuine in their faith. And this was the Apostle Paul. So he saw Christianity as a threat to the true religion of Judaism. And he was persecuting the Christians. He was putting them in jail. And as he was going to another city, Damascus, from Jerusalem, up in the north, Jesus appears to him. And this is the thing that a lot of people get turned off when it comes to the gospel. The supernatural, what we would call it. They say it's not reasonable that a light would shine from heaven, that somebody would hear a voice saying, Paul, why are you persecuting me? This is Jesus. You know, you're kicking against a brick wall. You're not going to go anywhere. You're really fighting against God. You think you're fighting for God, but you're fighting against God. You are so wrong. You are so blind. You are so removed
from reality. And this is where people say, well, you know, it doesn't make sense. It's not reasonable. But see, God is beyond reason. He doesn't have to make sense to people. When we talk about the supernatural, and I don't mean to imply that we as Christians ought to live in la-la land, where you know, where we are so heavenly minded that we are no earthly good. That's not what I'm talking about. And you know that because you see what we do, what our involvement is. We didn't go to the Dominican Republic because we looked at the map one day and says, oh, we want to go on a trip and put our finger there and went there. We went there because God spoke to us to go there. Big difference. And we will go today wherever He tells us to go. Last year we were in Colombia doing similar work. This year we're going back in October, my wife and I. And we're believing God for more souls because that's what it's all about. It's about preaching the gospel. Your pastor and I were talking about that, you know, as Christians, we are either planting or we're watering if we're doing our job. Sadly, 95% of Christians, we were in D.C. and Pastor Howard Rodney Brown is having 3 weeks of Celebrate America, and you may have seen that on Christian TV in D.C., calling out for the church to repent, to seek God, to ask God for His mercy on our nation before we go over the edge. And, you know, I used to think, well, we're going to go over the edge morally because we're just so badly, you know, in our morals that our nation is going to explode, but it just may just be the financial collapse. You know, at any minute, our nation could collapse financially because we are way over in our debt. That keeps them going like crazy. And everybody knows that if you run your credit cards to the max and you've borrowed from everybody or your uncles, you know, what's going to happen? Eventually, you're going to go bankrupt or something will happen like that. Well, we're only being sustained because we have the machines that make the dollars. That's the only reason. We have no gold. We have no economy, nothing. It's just the money we're printing because it's the world currency. But guess what? Russia and China already made a pact that they're not going to deal in dollars anymore. And the world, when the rest of the world does that, we're going to be left holding an empty bag, nothing. And so we don't realize how precarious our situation is in America. And unless we cry out to God for mercy, if not for our sakes, for the sake of those that gave their lives for the gospel to be taught in public schools in America for the word of God and those people that gave their lives literally, beginning with the founding fathers and the rebellion against England and so forth. God, for them and for you to bless 1,000 generations of the righteous, spare us today. But not only for ourselves today, and not only because we don't want to be living out of our comfort zone here in America, but for the sake of the world. America is still the number one missionary nation in the world. We need America to stay afloat. We don't, but, you know, I'm just meddling. That's just my opinion. It was not in my message, but I'm just telling you, 95% of Christians, I said all of that because Howard Brown said the statistics show we don't share the gospel with anybody. And that is not good. Because according to the word of God, we should either be sowing the word or watering the word. And what that means is anybody within our reach, with wisdom and with love, we need to talk to them about spiritual things. And I'm going to read to you how Paul did it. And that's how we ought to do it too. It's right here. So Paul is now in prison at Caesarea. He went to Jerusalem. The Jews tried to kill him. There was a riot. He ends up over here. And he is given his defense before the Roman government as to what is the reason for him being in jail. What is the reason for his faith? As he is in prison, first before Felix, one of the Roman governors appointed, and now before Festus, the next Roman governor, and the king Agrippa comes as well. He's Jew. And I was reading a little bit about this. He is the grandson of the first Herod. You remember the Herod that sent soldiers to kill the babies he was trying to kill? Jesus. And then this King Agrippa's father, the next Herod, is the one that killed the apostle James. And now this guy is the son, and he's Jew, and he comes with Berenice, his sister. And now Paul is giving his defense. So let's pick it up over here in chapter 26. Verse 9. I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the Lord's people in prison, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them to blaspheme. I was so obsessed with persecuting them that I even hunted them down in foreign cities. Let's jump over to verse 19. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven, first to those in Judea, in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and then to the Gentiles. I preached that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. That is why some Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. I don't think any of us here has face peril of death for preaching the gospel. But God has helped me to this very day. So I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer and, as the first to rise from the dead, would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles. Let's jump back to verse 15. Then I asked, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," the Lord replied. "Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins in a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." And this is our mission, every Christian's mission. Not every missionary is good on the pulpit. A lot of missionaries, you know, they're doing their work. Not everybody's supposed to be on the pulpit. Not everybody is supposed to be preaching evangelistic ministry. Not everybody's got the open personality, you know, the outgoing person. You just go to a stranger and say, "Hey, how are you? How's your faith? Let's talk about it." Or start talking about the weather and say, "Hey, come to my..." Not everybody's got that, you know. But everybody should be involved one way or another in the mission of bringing the gospel to people. If I'm not good at talking, I can vacuum the floors. I can do something. I can ask, "Pastor, what do you need me?" Don't put me in the front, but I can be behind the scenes. I can paint a wall. I can give a little extra this month. And you know, a lot of times, that's enough. That's for each one of us to determine before God. I know each one of you, I'm talking to Christians right now, you pray and say, "Lord, make my life count. One way or another, help me to show me how can I serve you." Well, this is the gospel right here. Jesus said, "I'm sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins in a place among those, or an inheritance among those that are sanctified through faith in me. It is by faith in him. Lately, I've been witnessing to people. Like we were in the DR last week, 2 weeks ago. And we had a guy driving us to the airport. And, you know, I always look for ways to connect with people and give them the word, especially people that I won't ever see, or, you know, I'm only... We had two taxi drivers. One of the taxi drivers had a Jehovah's Witness Bible on his dashboard. That was easy. So I says, oh, I see you're a believer. Well, yeah, I said, you believe in God? I said, okay, great, that's wonderful. I says, me too, let me ask you a question. I says, what do you think is the number one problem that humanity has? And this young man, he thought for a minute, you know, he gave me his answer. He gave me a good answer, but not the answer. I asked the other taxi driver, I says, oh, I see you have a cross. He's Catholic, had a crucifix, you know. I said, oh, you got a cross. What does a cross mean to you? Well, you know, it is Jesus. And what do you think is the number one problem, according to the Bible, that persons face? He's like, I don't know. You tell me. I said to him, what do you notice is the number one problem that little kids have? Do you have any kids? Yes. When kids turn two and they start to talk, and you tell them, don't eat the cookies. And when you come back, they ate all the cookies. And you tell them, did you eat the cookies? And their mouth is full, crumbs coming out, like, no, I didn't. It was the dog. And that is so cute, but that is an indication of the main problem of humanity. We don't have to teach it to kids. They already come wired to bite, to steal, to lie. They're breaking the Ten Commandments, and they can't even talk. Well, we are breaking the Ten Commandments every day, and we can talk. And we're adults. Some of us, we're not grandparents yet, but we're almost there. We're still breaking the commandments every day. Why? Because of a three-letter word, sin. We do not have the ability to be good. What I mean by that is we don't have the ability to be holy. We don't have the ability to stand up to the standard of God. That's what I'm talking about. Because there's a lot of good people. There are people that are atheists. There are people that live in the homosexual style out there that don't want to come to church. And they are nicer than a lot of Christians. They're serving more people than a lot of Christians are serving. So that's not what I'm talking about, being nice. I'm talking about the ability to stand up to the standard of God. Amen. That's humanity's main problem. That's why we experience the pain of betrayal. Don't we? The pain of disappointment. A pastor of 60 years of age with a great career suddenly leaves his wife and goes with some other woman. And people go, like, oh. People leave the church, you know, and instead of keeping our eyes on the Lord, because we're not following a man, we're following Jesus. And Paul, even the great apostle Paul, who finished well, And that is one of my prayers, by the way, pastors. I want to finish well. Amen. Yes. I don't want to bring shame to the cause of Christ. I don't want my children to have the pain and the suffering when I'm gone of some scandal, something sad, you know, by the grace of God. So I want to finish well. But all of us still battle with sin every day. It's still the main problem that humanity has. Because of sin, that's why there are no good relationships. That's why there's corruption in government. That's why there's injustice. That's why there's all the things. That's why people believe in evolution. That justifies me being corrupt. In my business, I'll get all I can out of my workers because I'm the lion. They're the rabbits. They're here for me to eat them. That's evolution, by the way. So the big fish eats the little fish. It's the chain of life. Okay? So that's just an excuse not to be accountable to the Ten Commandments. Amen. Evolution, whatever other belief people have, is just an excuse to continue to remain autonomous. Don't tell me what to do. I want to die like Sinatra. What was his first name? Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. You know? And I'll die doing it my way. And you and your religion, you can blankety blankety blankety. Boom. The next thing, they wake up in hell. And it's too late. Paul said, I'm sending you. And that's all of us. Yeah, not all of us are apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists. That's the leadership in the church. But the whole church as a whole, that's our mission. Is to tell people, hey, we have a problem that is the root cause of all the problems. Of the selfishness, of the greed, of all the things that don't allow us to be who we want to be. We man, we want to be man. Good man. We want to be faithful. We want to be protectors. We want to be providers. We want to be soldiers. We want to be defenders. We want to be the heroes of our children and our wives. But we have a problem. Call it the flesh, call it sin. We're having to fight against it. Women. Women want to be wonderful too. Most women just want their husbands to get their act together, you know. They bring him to the pastor. Can you slap him around a little bit? Just, you know, just so that he'll man up and grow up, you know, and take care of business, you know. Instead of just being another one of my kids that I got to pick up his clothes after him, take up the trash for him, you know. Try to find him not betting the money away and, you know, just all the credit cards. Like moms have, wives have to be mothering their husbands because they're not men. Because of sin. Men that are no good to God, no good to the church, no good to nobody. They're just the same as everybody else out there. They just go to church on Sundays. But they're like in neutral. They don't do anything for God. They're not, the devil is not worried about them because they feel inadequate. I can't do anything. So I just coast, you know. My bag of chips, my Pepsi, football game, then I die. At least I wasn't hurting anybody, you know. It's that problem of sin. And God says, I want you to open their eyes. Because we are worse than blind. We are dead without Jesus. Completely unaware. Just as dead as that cemetery a block away from here. Those people don't give trouble to anybody, and they don't help anybody because they're buried there. And they're totally unaware of what's going on above their 6 feet of the ground. That's how we are spiritually without Jesus Christ. And we need somebody to open our eyes and take us from darkness into light. We are in darkness. We're dead. We are a rebellious race, unable to be what our movies portray, our heroes should be, what people instinctively know that men and women should be. They're unable because of that one thing that nobody talks about. Only in church you hear this. Or only the crazy Christians on the streets trying to tell people, wake up, open your eyes. You are under the power of Satan. You are under the power of sin. What do you mean I'm under the power of Satan? Because as long as you ignore God, you are under the power of Satan. Because Satan hates humanity and he wants them to be away from God for eternity. So everyone that is not in Jesus is under the power of Satan. And God wants us to be alive. And Jesus Christ is the answer to the problem of sin, to the penalty of sin, to the corruption of sin, to the destruction of sin, to the slavery of sin. That's what the Bible tries to tell us. That's what God tried to tell us by putting his own people as slaves in Egypt. Some people say, well, God was sadistic. Why would he put his... promised to give him the promised land, then put him as slaves for 400 years in Egypt. And he's illustrating for us the condition of all humanity. We're slaves. We're slaves to ourselves. Our warped selves without Christ. But the answer is Jesus, who lived the perfect life. He's the second Adam. He did what the first Adam didn't do. The first Adam messed up. The second Adam didn't, because he did not bow his knee to the devil. Because he always confessed that the character of God is he is good and he is righteous and he is loving. Instead of like Adam believing that God was a liar trying to keep them from something good and so he ate the fruit. Jesus never did that. He lived the life that we were meant to live. And then at the end of his life, he said, okay, I fulfilled all righteousness. Now I'm going to the cross as a lamb to be offered in the place of the people so that people can live. I'm giving my life. The Son of God gave his life, poured out his blood. He said, here I am, Father. I come, punish me. Don't punish me. Your little ones that you created in your image. Men and women, the image of God. I take it on me. And on the third day, God raised him from the dead victorious. And he came to the disciples and said, now you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I've come back from the dead. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And with this faith, through this faith in me, people, eyes will be open. People will be taken out of darkness into light. People will experience true life. People will experience the beauty of life. The beauty of pure love. The excitement of being alive, more alive than ever. Sensing life with a spiritual and a supernatural and a spirit that is now alive, that was dead before. You're not a slave to sin anymore. The same solution to the person that is dead without Christ is still the same solution for you and I today to live the Christian life. To live free from the slavery of sin and the punishment of sin and all the negative consequences of sin is we daily come to Jesus Christ. And daily say, Lord, here I am. change me. Here I am, I surrender to you. Here I am, keep me by your grace. One day at a time, I am here. Lord, thank you. And by your love, I'm not one of the millions that have turned their back on God, the church, and maybe one day they were serving God and then they just, you know. We heard Bill Wilson in Baltimore 3 weeks ago, and he's the one that directs the Metro Ministries in New York. Has the largest Sunday school to children in the world, all over the world. And he went back to Florida, and the pastor that took him from the streets, when his mother abandoned him when he was 12 on the streets, pastor bought him his first pair of shoes, and he says, the church is not there, it's just an office building now. The pastor committed suicide. His mentor, a Royal Rangers mentor that taught him how to witness on the streets, had a fight with somebody, killed a person, went to jail, died in jail. And because every day we face the threat of sin, and we have to yield every day to the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus continues to be the answer. That's why you see these people over here just singing to Jesus, so excited, meaning what they're saying. You see it in their faces. They're singing because they know that Jesus is the answer. The only answer. The only way. Every day, I thank God for Jesus Christ and His grace and His mercy and how He's kept our family together. And how our children grew up in homes that were not like our homes. My home was totally dysfunctional. My dad was a drunk, and my mom was a, how do you call the person that's, I forget the term. She was, I forget the term. She just clung to my father no matter what. And Codependent. In denial. My dad was drunk, unsaved. He was a good guy, but he didn't know any better. He was totally into himself. Her dad was a minister, but he had a narcissistic personality disorder. And you'd ask me, well, are you a shrink? No, but the pain of my family, the pain that she suffered, we had to find out the truth, because the truth sets us free. And by the grace of God, our children that we showed you over there, we showed you the pictures because they are our first ministry. Our kids always came first. We refused to have kids that would grow up bitter against the ministry, bitter against God, bitter against the church. We said, no. We're going to be with our kids. We're going to have fun with them. In fact, we always told them, you don't have to preach. I almost didn't want any of them to be preachers or any of that stuff because it's not an easy calling. I told them, just do whatever God tells you to do, and that'll be fine with us. And they're wonderful kids today, and we're still best friends. We still have great fun when we do vacations together. This past December, my daughter said in July when we were here last year, said in passing, I want to be at Christmas at home, because December 20th is her birthday. We're always in the hot heat over there, and I want to be in the snow for Christmas, you know. And we're like, well, honey, you know, we can't do that. Well, this friend heard her, and he bought us all tickets to come in December. And my son's father-in-law owns chalets in Gatlinburg near Pigeon Forge. He says, you guys can have a, just pay for the cleaning fee, and you guys can have a, we had the best vacation we have ever had in our lives, all of our family. And we had planned to go driving go-karts. We had planned to, my son wanted to go bungee jumping, and I wanted to go to see the nice classic car museum over there, and we were going to go. We had all these plans. You know what? We didn't do anything. We just stayed home playing cards, eating, laughing, joking, reminiscing. And I was in heaven. And all of our kids were again at home. Like my wife says, I wish they were 10, 7, and 5, and 2. Like they used to. Now everybody's driving. Everybody's going to be like, hey, bye, Mom, bye. But that one day, they were all in there, and we were having a total blast. And there's no pain between us, no disappointment that we weren't there for them, no shame that, you know, whatever. It's just because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, we have heaven on earth. We have joy. We have peace. We have. Amen. So that's why we preach the gospel. We don't preach the gospel because we are bigoted, hateful, right-wingers, party tears, whatever, you know. Whatever the devil labels us. We preach the gospel because we were lost, but now we're found. We were dead, but now we're alive. We didn't know love, but now we know love. We were hurting, but we no longer hurt. So we want people to think for themselves, and we want to sow the word. And if they've been given the word before, we want to water that seed. Because when it's all said and done, and 50 years from now, when we're all gone from here, the only thing that will matter is what you did with Jesus Christ. That is the main thing. Let's all stand and let's pray. Father, thank you that we can be in this house of worship. Because of the obedience of a group of people that love you. Obedience. Their love for you, they believed you and they walk with you, and you've given them this beautiful property, this key area. And they're proclaiming your word, and their families, Lord, that are striving to live for you, God. Forgive us for our sins and iniquities. Please show us, Lord, the truth, the light that sets us free. Lord God, open the eyes, not only of those that don't know you today, but open the eyes of those that do know you. That we be reminded this morning of what it is that's most important. And that's Jesus Christ. While your heads are bowed, I want to ask you, are you in the light or are you in the darkness? Are you living independent from God or are you living with God and for God? We want you to know this morning that God so loved you that He gave His Son for you. And He said that whosoever, that's a singular. Whosoever, that's a singular because God is thinking about you as an individual. And He is almighty. He can give His undivided attention to you right now. If you believe in Him, you will have everlasting life. If you put your trust in Him, your sins will be forgiven. You will be brought from the power of Satan and darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. You will be free from the main oppression that all humanity suffers from, that inbred genetically and spiritually root of sin, inability to connect with God, to obey God, to know God, God will take that away from you, and He will give you His Spirit in that place. And you will know peace, righteousness, and joy in the Holy Spirit. If that's you this morning, and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, you want to repent of your sins, you want to turn a new leaf, begin a new life, I want you to raise your hand and say, Pastor, I'll give my life to Christ this morning. I want to follow Him, and I want to serve Him. Thank you. Anyone else that wants to do that? In fact, take it a step further. Come over here and pray that prayer with me in front of all these people. Don't be ashamed of Christ. You need to do this publicly. Will you come? You that raise your hand, I'm going to pray for you. And I want, if you come, you'll encourage others to do the same thing. Don't be ashamed. Don't. Declare your faith for Christ in front of all these people. Anybody else, you want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior right now. You want to give your life to Him.